Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. So welcome to another episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Buzzers.
Yeah. That's
buzzers.
Nice.
Do you like that?
Sense of urgency to it. I enjoyed that.
I've been watching too many news updates, obviously.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You've gone all sort of, here is some news. Fingers on buzzers. It's all bad news. But it's
this is not bad. There's no bad news in this.
No, it's all good news for us because we have some fabulous guests today. They're from probably the most popular football podcast, certainly that I can think of. Now, and I'm excited because, as you know, Jenny, football is one of my absolute passions.
Yes.
I never stop talking about it.
You are thus undefeated in a pure football quiz.
So, shall we say who it is?
I think it's about time we broke the tension because a lot of people probably can read the description of this podcast, so that's why they've tuned in.
Okay, yeah, it's Pete and Jim from the Football Ramble.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, you know, I love both of you individually. And I have been listening to your football podcast. And for me, not being someone who has any interest whatsoever in football, I've enjoyed it like listening to a foreign language. I've just
you should
let it
really value your time
me.
A little bit more, Lucy.
No, it's great. I love to, you know, because I wouldn't, you know, it's not really my thing. And this is very much what we're going to talk about today, I think, is what you bring to the world of quiz for us. And sports trivia, the kind of minds of people who are interested in sport, the stats, the hunger for kind of chatting and knowing more than your mates down the pub about stuff. Are you pub trivia fans, guys?
I sort of am, but I'm kind of, I always surprise myself being slightly above useless in a pub quiz because I have a dangerous combination for quizzing of having absolutely no competitive spirit and also not caring if I win. So it's like I'm just not motivated at all, and I don't mind being a bit rubbish. Maybe it's a defense mechanism because I know I'm probably not going to win a quiz. So in my head, I'm like, I don't even care about your quiz. But I think, I don't know if you have the same, Pete, but I feel like if you are doing a pub quiz and there is a sort of a football round, there is a lot of pressure on the guy that does a football podcast. So I mean.
Because I kind of love Newcastle United more than I actually like football. So like, and they are frequently very different things, which is quite problematic in the Premier League. But I think, I'm not very competitive either. So I think Jim is going to have to really carry us in this particular podcast.
I'm expecting you to do that, mate. So
this is
you're carrying each other. You're sort of limping on together. But I mean, in fairness, you will almost certainly be better than me. So my big thing is I cannot do sport, and I switch off immediately if it comes up. But I mean, Jen, obviously, she's across all the disciplines.
Mm. But I have a tendency because sport is notoriously not one of my top subjects, it's not something I don't know anything about, but it's like when I get a mental arithmetic question, I panic and I go, and I think, I don't want to make myself look even more stupid than I am by giving a wrong answer that's too wrong rather than passing. Mm-hmm. So it's such a strong area of people's general knowledge, in that they either know everything and will tell you exactly why you're wrong and how stupid you looked when you gave that wrong answer, or they know a nada.
Mm-hmm. But I guess for you guys, because you are, you know, known throughout the world as authorities on football, surely that does take the pressure off a little bit, because other people will be trying to impress you. Do you ever get the sense that other people are trying to show you how much they know about football?
There is sometimes an element of that, yeah, where you might bump into somebody, or it might be at like a live event we're doing, and they are desperate to find out who your favourite Lithuanian left back is. And I don't have a favourite Lithuanian left back, and it's like a little challenge sometimes.
I don't have a favourite Lithuanian. I don't.
You really need to choose one.
So yeah,
this is where Jenny can name us a Lithuanian.
Yeah. What's your favourite Lithuanian, Jenny?
We can come back to you. We'll come back to her. There we go. I mean, I find your fans really interesting, because you do sort of, you know, on the podcast, you kind of hear people who like love you and worship you. And what are the sort of most frequent questions that you get asked then? What are the sort of things people try and stump you with, or just want to know about you?
I think the problem with being a modern male is that you have to get aboard the banter bus pretty early in a conversation when you're talking to somebody about football. So they know more about you than you know about them. So that's the power dynamic shifts immediately. And then you're just in a situation where they're just shouting like about their Sabutio teams that they've got, or how much they love Arsenal or something. And I don't love the sport enough to have a conversation about football at like 10 p.m. on a Friday. I just want to have a drink. I just want
like that man in New York that was just screaming at us.
Yes, exactly.
Did you meet him? He was just screaming at us about how we had to come down to see New York's newest team because their fans are really violent, or something like. It was like along those lines. It was really like, this isn't the stuff you should be taking from the English game.
imagine doing a podcast about something that literally, well, certainly I feel Jim's way better than me, but like I always feel that everybody who listens knows more about football than I do. So it's actually quite problematic that when we're in a situation like that, I only turned up to this quiz knowing full well you're going to ask questions about football because we're on a premium Zoom account. I've never been on that.
Have you enjoyed the jacuzzi there, Pete? Have you,
every
basket in the waiting room.
Beautiful. Just don't overdo it on the cocaine. Night. That's my tip for the newbie luxury Zoomers, you know. I, having not really ever been much of a sporty person, I don't know much about sports quizzes on the television. But the one that we do all know is a question of sport, which has been around since I was a tiny child. And I'm
since before that, 1968, it started.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a format. That's solid.
It's extraordinary, that one where you have to look at a picture of a bit of a sports person. You'd think that would get old, wouldn't you? Just seeing someone's ear.
Hey, Catchphrase did it for quite a long time as well, so. Yeah.
That is very true. It's an enduring success. But have there been, and Jenny will know this, have there been football player team captains on A Question of Sport, because I remember it was always your rugby players and because jockeys. I can sort of think cricketers definitely.
Ali McCoist was on. He was a team captain for a while.
Yeah, for a long time.
I'm struggling now to think. So yeah, it tends to be, you know, representatives from other sport, because that's one thing about A Question of Sport is it is not at all football biased, and most other stuff, like even if it is generic sports related, will go back to football. Like there's another long runner is Fighting Talk on Radio 5, and honestly every time I'm on I try and put as many different sports in as I can, but it goes back to football all the time, and we end up talking about Liverpool for 6 hours afterwards because it's Colin.
Is that Colin Murray's yes, that would be
because I was like, Question of Sport, it never sort of drew me to any of the sports people who were on it, because it's quite a like a basic idea of what a sports person is. Like this sort of almost asinine idea that these problematic men like Ian Botham would come on and just kind of try and not talk about anything too spicy for about 2 hours, and then they would leave and be terrible men elsewhere. So,
imagine the post quiz drinks. Ugh.
Can you imagine? I always saw Question of Sport as being way too safe.
Yeah.
It was a very safe show, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's. I think the reaction to that was they think it's all over. It was the anti Question of Sport, but still vaguely sports themed.
Still, yeah. Quite
anything with licensed groping with the touch the sportsman round.
I forgot about that.
There's a lot of stuff like that. For like all panel shows seem quite innocuous, don't they? But even though as you look back at them, like the round they had on Nevermind the Buzzcocks, where they'd have like five people on. And one of them was like an old famous person. You had to guess who it was, and they just insult the other ones. It's like, this is horrible. But I remember David Gower used to be on A Question of Sport, and because he was a grey-haired David called like former sportsman, I thought he was David Icke for a bit. And they're very different men, aren't they? I
think see that though. Yeah.
Agree.
Imagine looking down and seeing your cricket bat, a big lizard. Exactly. I mean, like a group delusion.
Well, we don't know what David Gower's views on the Illuminati or lizard people.
I don't want to know. You know,
and no, he's stabbed. Actually,
let's not go down that avenue.
I've met David Gower and his lovely wife, and this is like I'm a comedian from the 70s, isn't it? Going, oh, I love lovely people. I've played around with golf. Have there been any sports quizzes that you have enjoyed in the history of time? Either radio quizzes.
I used to like, They Think It's All Over, actually, when that was on when I was younger, because it was a decent comedy panel show, wasn't it? I thought Nick Hancock was funny, even though I look back now and he was mostly just shouting. It was just a lot of like, ah! But
that was comedy in the 90s.
I was going to say, exactly, that's 90s lads culture, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
They thought it was a perfectly reasonable conversation.
Yes. It's very much like being on a luxury Zoom, really. That was their whole life back then.
We're enjoying that Nick Hancock lifestyle.
There's a Jack Whitehall. What's the one that's on Sky?
Oh, the Sky one, yeah.
League of Their Own, yeah.
League of Their Own.
Which is kind of a spin-off of They Think It's All Over, but by Sky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't there like a Sky spin-off from that TV show as well? There's like where all of the contestants go on like a trip abroad, like the Lads Abroad kind of thing, Jamie Redknapp and all those guys.
Lads.
Isn't that also sort of Top Gear because Freddie Flintoff's in it? So they're all just like multiplying.
Top Gear is a spin-off of A League of Their Own. Everything's a spin-off. There's no original ideas in the world now. It's all a spin-off of a spin-off of a spin-off.
Well, we're actually spin-offs now.
We're
a spin-off of Football Ramble. I don't know if you knew that.
It's Football Ramble Daily.
Yeah. Somehow we're a spin-off of Cheers. We forget how it blurred into this. But
yeah. You were married to Diane at some point.
Everything goes back to Happy Days in the end, actually. Yeah.
Now, we do have some questions to ask you. We're going to chat more in a minute, but we invited you on here, and obviously, from what you've said already, you guys have prepared thinking, right, we're on a quiz podcast. We're going to get quizzed about football. So, obviously, your podcast is the Football Ramble. And so, what we've done is we've got some questions about rambling.
Okay.
This is going to be full on geography, isn't it?
We didn't feel entirely sort of up to asking questions about football. Well, I didn't. Jenny would have been fine. But so, Jenny, do you want to do the first one?
I will. Question one on your rambling round. What makes Stephen Goff a notorious rambler.
Did he go to the Forbidden Field?
Went to several Forbidden Fields.
Is he a dogger? Is that what you're implying there?
That's very close.
That's a strong allegation.
Yeah, we're certainly not implying that. No. We'd like to make that abundantly clear.
Yeah, what he did on his travels, you know, after sundown in a car park is nobody's business but him and those six other people. However, he's not, to our knowledge, a dogger.
He would have been very ready for dogging, though. He wouldn't have needed much prep.
Oh. He did it in a wetsuit. He rambled in a wetsuit.
The opposite.
Why would you go dogging in a wetsuit, Pete? What?
That's very niche.
In case the environment goes against me or the weather rolls in.
Mm. I love how quickly it's become. Didn't take long for the mask to slip, did it? Jesus Christ. This is why we're not normally allowed to do things like this.
I've taken so many stomach tablets today, I'm off my head.
Oh.
Zantac as well. I've got a terribly bad stomach, people. And Zantac, you can't even buy them at the medicine counter anymore because something wrong with their kind of supply chain means that it's slightly carcinogenic. But I've got a supply of them. And my God, they're good. But I've had three.
I appreciate you stalling for time, Pete, but...
Yeah. He must have been naked then. If he didn't wear anything, he must have been naked.
Yeah, that makes sense. He must have been, having a little nudie stroll, as I believe it's called.
It wasn't a little nudie stroll. He was the naked rambler, and he rambled pretty much the length of the UK.
Wow.
Kept getting arrested along the way for public nudity, but his political stance was that it was his right to be naked on a public footpath anywhere in the UK. He wasn't.
And if that goes to an orphanage, that's their problem.
Yeah.
I mean, most men these days just send pictures through people's DMs, don't they? But he really took it to a whole other level.
The satisfaction he must have felt at the end of that. I think I've made my point. So extreme.
He's pulling on his boxer shorts. So depressing. What's wrong with men?
I'm immediately going to Google and find out if he's still rambling.
Well, if he's still doing it, then it was just an excuse, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, especially now.
No, I think he probably is. I'll ask question two while Jenny looks that up. Question number two. One of these people has been the president of the Ramblers Association. But which one? Is it A, Linda Lusardi? Is it B, Theresa May? Or is it C, Janet Street Porter? All wonderful women in their own way.
Yeah, I'm immediately...
Strong, powerful ladies.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm drawn to Janet Street Porter straight away because I think Theresa May... She'd have been distracted by the fields. She'd have just run through all the wheat, wouldn't she? She could never have kept her mind on serious rambling. Linda Lusardi? Can I see Linda Lusardi as a rambler? Possibly. I think that's more likely than Theresa May, but I'm leaning towards Janet Street Porter because I could imagine her having an eye on doing like a TV series about rambling on some sort of very old person channel. That's what I reckon it is. Maybe she even did one. What do you think?
Is it just one of those situations where, like, if someone does something once, it's like Spectacle Wearer of the Year. They've worn specs once and they're suddenly, you know, they've got that, or Dad of the Year. John Terry, the footballer, got Dad of the Year one year. Oof. And he very much did not deserve it. Google it.
No. Undermines the concept of dad.
It really does.
Well, I mean, Rear of the Year is often contentious. I mean, Gary Barlow won Rear of the Year against Ben Shepherd, who is a friend of our show. Ben Shepherd came second.
That's a deep injustice that I will fight to the death to be.
It's almost like Rear of the Year isn't a kind of serious event. It sickens me to my very core.
I think were I nominated for that, I'd want to win it, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like you've been designated as not having the best bum in the UK if you don't win. Whereas for most people, it's not a consideration.
Not would you not be happy with top five? I mean, I'm already being subjugated as a sex object anyway. So, like, let's just see this to the fruition and just be happy with my top five placing.
I don't know. Maybe we can hire some PR people and see if we can get involved.
Maybe it's like the talent shows where it's actually better to come second. Your ass gets more work.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, who knows? The correct answer, you were absolutely right, was Janet Street Porter.
Yes.
Who was the president of the Ramblers Association between 1994 and 1996 and is still a very vocal supporter of Ramblers' rights and probably would have supported the naked rambler in his right to ramble both naked and wherever he liked.
More than likely.
Is he still going, Jen? Have we worked that out?
Well, I've checked him out. So in 2003 and 2004, he walked the length of Great Britain naked, then did it again in 2005 and got arrested several times during his ramble, his second attempt. Then he spent much of the next 10 years in prison for contempt of court on the public nudity charges. Wow. And he jacked it in 2015 because he had to care for his mum. So, aww. I mean, there's still time. I mean, he's an ex-Marine, so, I mean, he's a tough nut, shall we say.
Do you know if anyone has the rights to this movie? Because I think this is perhaps something we should step up.
Edward's film.
Yeah, it could, and you with your lovely bottom, Jim, you could star in it.
There we go.
Be lovely.
Jim does have the best on Football Ramble Daily. Jim does have the best bottom. So
you think
my that, back Pete. Just starts the legs really early. Like, I don't have one. It's
true. You do. You famously don't have an arse.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Non-rear of the year.
You can have some of mine. Right, next question.
Yours isn't there either, Lucy. You've got an invisible arse at the moment.
Well, that's true. That's true. I've got a green screen.
green trousers.
The diet that I've been looking for all my life. Just wear green in front of a green screen background and you're instantly lose your entire body weight. Okay, do you want to do the
question?
Next
your third question. Who said the following whilst in the middle of an incoherent ramble? I never understood wind. Was it A, Donald Trump, B, Homer Simpson, C, Boris Johnson? Who rambled on, I never understood wind?
I mean, stab in the dark, obviously, at Homer Simpson, I mean, they're all comedy characters, but obviously,
yeah.
I reckon Donald Trump never admits he doesn't know anything. So that's not even a sentence. Donald Trump never admits that he is ignorant on any subject. So I reckon it's got to be Boris, hasn't it?
Was in the middle of a ramble, though, wasn't it? So it could be that it was part of a larger thing that didn't make sense in a different way, in which he wasn't admitting not knowing something. That's what I'm a little concerned about. I don't think it would be Homer Simpson, purely because I think I'd know it. Do you know what I mean? I think we're of a generation where it's just been kind of burned into your mind. Would Boris Johnson have said, I've never understood wind? Was that the quote? Was it?
I never understood wind, yes.
It was at a renewable energy kind of conference.
I think it could have been Trump, but I'm going to go with you on this one, Pete. I think, let's guess Boris.
Oh, you swerved the wrong way there, unfortunately. It was the world's greatest current serving rambler, I believe, in terms of just pure nonsense and drivel. He was having a tirade against wind turbines. So,
was it? Oh, cool.
I don't know what point he was trying to make.
Well, obviously, his natural enemy is the wind with that hair. So,
yeah,
he's never understood how to control it, how to harness it, how to avoid
it. That's how he fights against things. He just denies they exist and doesn't try to understand them. And if he acts like that, they'll go away surely, and he'll have defeated them.
A king.
Fascinating
kind of
that it
vibe
seems
there.
To work.
Yes. Which group released the track "Ramble On" in 1969?
This would be
Led Zeppelin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be Led Zeppelin. Yes.
Straight in.
That one. Should have done a pop
quiz.
Back of the net, as I believe you're saying. Well done. So you got 3 out of 4. I had a little question for you that I was interested to know the answer to. If you were on a pub quiz team, which footballer, living or dead, would you want on your pub quiz team with you?
That's a good question.
Oh,
I mean, I was just thinking, because we were saying there weren't that many on Question of Sport. There is an unfortunate stereotype that footballers are all a bit thick.
Yeah.
That winning mentality I would find problematic in the pub quiz kind of genre. Like, I find people who want to... They don't have a great home life, and then they get to the pub quiz and they just make everyone's life hell. Because they're very aggressive, they think that all of the things that they say are is right. So probably
you're
like
describing me there. That's
yeah, but you do know the things. You don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. You've made a virtue of it.
The aggression, the unhappy home.
I think I would go for Gary Neville. because he's a really good pundit and he properly knows his onions, and he's got that winning mentality where if you're on his side, you can probably just leave him to it.
Yeah.
Pete and I could just get blind drunk and let Gary just win the quiz, and then...
Would you sort of let him get on with that? Because in the pub quiz dynamic, I'm always the guy who's like writing down. I have quite nice handwriting. Mm. That's the only thing I do in a pub quiz. So like Pat Nevin, maybe, Jim? Like he's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite an old school, quite thoughtful guy.
He's very knowledgeable.
He's also an indie disco DJ, isn't he? Which is just, that is such music. A brilliant Venn diagram of the things I'm interested in.
You're the Pat Nevin of North London, Jim. Apart from
is
the
that
football
right?
bit, the successful football career.
Oh, I am, yeah.
I think I would have Father of the Year, John Terry.
Really?
No.
He'd turn up in his full quiz kit, though, wouldn't he?
He would. He claimed to have won it.
Yeah. He'll take the voucher for the Sunday roast for four, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Jen? Who would you have on your quiz team? What about Cantona? He'd be fun. I think he's very, you know, he's a knowledgeable man.
Yeah, but he would never give you a straight answer. He'd give you some philosophical guff. And he'd be like, and at the end he'd be like, well, I told you that was the answer. You didn't actually say it though, Eric, did you? Come on, lad. Get a grip. I'm trying to pay tribute to my beloved Bolton Wanderers now. I'll go for Gudni Bergson.
Oh,
nice.
Who retired from football to go and train as a lawyer back in his native land.
Oh,
I love it when footballers do something else as well. I'm obsessed with this, but there's a Dutch player called Arjen de Zeeuw who played for Wigan and he played for Portsmouth, and like he had a decent career. He would have just about been at the time where he probably made decent money, and he's now a homicide detective in Amsterdam. How cool is that?
That is getting to be a Venn diagram.
I'm imagining him next to a canal.
I detect him in Amsterdam, ex Wigan footballer. You abandoned Wigan, eh? Yeah, I'm off to the Netherlands as soon as possible.
Well, yeah, he can be on our pub quiz team just because I bet he's got some really good stories as well. Yeah. Fishing people out the canals.
Fishing people out canals in a Van der Valk style.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Bike, corpse, bike.
Yeah, dealer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So now we have quizzed you. It seems only fair that we give you the opportunity to quiz us. That's the way it works. So I believe you've been prepared with questions for us.
We have. Do you got a particular order you want to go in, Peter?
No, not really. If you can start, because I'm terrible with administering email accounts on my iPad. So.
Oh, I know, Pete. I know. I'm among the four men in the world, including yourself, that know that best. I'm going to start. So what was created on December 15th, 1979 by Chris Haney and Canadian newspaper editors Scott Abbott?
I know this.
No.
Lucy, you know this. Come on.
Do I? It's something sporting, isn't it, Jen?
No.
Isn't
no.
it?
No. It's Canadian.
What was created?
Very popular in the 80s.
Oh, Quantum Leap.
No. Oh, Anna.
Tamagotchis.
You're getting closer. It is a game.
Oh, Steam Trivial Pursuit.
Yes, it is.
Oh, nice work. Thanks for letting me, guiding me through that, Jen. That was very sweet of you.
What a Christmas, though. December 15th, they create Trivial Pursuit. I've done my work for the year. Well, clearly they've done the work for the year, but wow, I've created something amazing. And we can play it at Christmas.
It wasn't cheap, though, either. It was like... Because we were talking the last few weeks about interesting rounds for your quiz, for your Zoom quiz. And the other week, my sister did one for her half of the family, my stepsister. So there was a round about their family, which I wouldn't have got any of. But she did a round on what price was this product in this year, in a certain year's Argos catalogue.
Oh, amazing.
Wow,
one
nice.
Of those was, in 1988, how much was Trivial Pursuit? And it was something like $29.99.
What?
In the 80s, yeah.
Blimey. That's Argos, though. And those little figurines would have been cast iron.
Yeah. True. There's a lot of mad old board games like that. There's a comedian called John Bennett who's he's Australian, and he has this magnificent bit about this Jason Donovan themed board game, and it's from when Jason Donovan was really, really big, and the questions are things like what was the name of Jason's best friend when he was younger, and like what street did Jason grow up on, and all these things.
Aww.
And it's not multiple choice. Like, you're just supposed to know.
I mean, if I'd had that in 1989, I would have got all those answers correct. I was in the fan club at the age of 7. I was all over it.
Second question, if you guys are prepped. Whilst Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was in development, its first name was Cash Mountain. Which music mogul produced the initial theme tune, which was then scrapped?
Ooh. Cash Mountain. I'm just trying to imagine how it would have sounded. Was it Stock Aitken and Waterman? I mean, that's sort of
you've got for that era. Oh no, it could be Cowell, because that was early Cowell era, wasn't it? We're talking.
Well, it's late. It's either late Stock Aitken.
It's
and Waterman,
it's either late Cowell. Pete Waterman. No offense, Pete.
Lovely man, I've met him.
Early Cowell.
In my 1970s comedian where I've met him. Lovely man. We did a charity event together. Anyway, carry on.
I've got a lot of time for Pete Waterman. He's not discreet at all. If you ever meet him, get him a glass of champagne. He will tell you any gossip about Carrie Lee you want. It was
Ooh,
heaven.
Nice.
I mean, it's nothing filthy. It's all very wholesome, lovely stuff about how wonderful Kylie is and always has been, which is what I want to hear in my gossip about Kylie.
Yeah. I don't think the world could handle it.
Not ruin anyone's childhood.
Whereas Sonia,
I'm going to go for early Cowell.
Okay, I will stick with you. You are the font of all knowledge.
In the same way that Hans Zimmer, before he got all those lucrative Hollywood contracts, got going for gold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Cowell.
It's a bit of a theme. It was Pete Waterman.
Oh, it was
three swagger jagger.
Oh, no, we're all over the place though, aren't we? Sorry,
never
Pete.
Mind.
The hitman and her.
Do you guys want another question?
Go
always.
On.
Difficult one, this. Who has been the longest serving host of University Challenge?
I think Paxman has now eclipsed Bamba Gascoigne, don't you, Jem?
I do. I think, was it like 97 or something that came back and it's still on now? So we're talking 23 years.
Yeah, that's why.
And Bamba was probably only doing it for 20 years max.
Absolute max. I'd say it's going to be surprisingly short. Put us out of our misery, Jem, are we correct?
You are correct. It is indeed Jeremy Paxman. He's been hosting it since 1994, which makes his term 26 years and counting. Blimey. And Bamba Gascoigne was 25 years from 1962 to 1987. So when I think, I can't picture Bamba Gascoigne because I just think Griff Rhys Jones in that Young Ones episode.
Bambi.
Yes.
He was always someone who was mentioned on Teletext. Teletext used to have like a gaming part of the Teletext, and they always used to do jokes about Bamba Gascoigne, but could never
Bamboozle.
Figure out who he actually was. Yeah. Bamba was the last one, yes.
Yeah, Bamba, and he was called Bamba. Bamba was the host, the pixel host. Oh, the days when you would strive for any kind of entertainment.
Oh, God, yeah.
Interactivity.
A bit to roll around.
Yes. Yeah, and you could use the fast text buttons, but if you were fast enough to get back to the previous page if you made an error, that was a bit of a hack later on if you had an up-to-date remote control.
I remember watching Glastonbury. I remember watching Glastonbury highlights on with the subtitles from Teletext on, which were, but there were people who were somehow, it must have been, clearly it was the internet, but it was before I had it. But yeah, there were people just having little text chats on Teletext that came up on the screen, and it felt like the future. I was like, oh my God. Wow. Like, how big is this internet thing going to get?
It was a very slow kind of internet, wasn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
Guys, do you want a final question from us?
Yes, please.
Right then. Back to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which has versions that broadcast all over the world. Which of these countries, though, does not use the iconic catchphrase, "Is that your final answer?" I've got a choice of three here. A, Bulgaria, B, Finland, or C, Denmark.
Why would you not use that catchphrase?
Hmm.
Unless if you translate it, it means something really filthy in that language.
Or something ominous.
Political.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Ominously political. Was it Bulgaria, the first one?
Bulgaria, Finland, or Denmark.
Well, Bulgaria is ex-communist, isn't it? And might be, maybe it was a catchphrase of whatever there.
It's got the wobbliest political situation.
Yeah, and maybe if someone says to you in Bulgaria, "Is that your final answer?" then you kind of run for the hills.
It's problematic.
it's a problematic phrase. Yeah, I think I'm going to say, let's go Bulgaria.
It's actually B, Finland.
Ooh.
Ooh, the show had three hosts who have all asked, "Shall we lock the answer?"
They're funny though. They're a weird nation. Their national delicacy is cans of fish that smell so bad you have to open them underwater.
Wow. I know that the Finnish language is very unusual as well, isn't it? I think it's closer to Japanese than it is to a lot of European languages. And I think that's something to do with the Bering Strait and people migrating over time. That's half a fact.
Isn't that like a really big...
That's probably not a fact.
Opening a can of fish that's underwater, is that not a big F you to the fish that has died?
Yeah, it's very crass.
See what happened to your little friends. Be careful next time.
Well, it teaches the fish a lesson, so I'm all for it, really. Yeah. But that was great. And I liked your knowledge about Finnish and the weird linguistic roots there, Jim. I think you might be on our pub quiz team.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in my own kind of anecdotes like that, though. Do you know what I mean? I know that the facts around that are something like that, but I don't know if they're absolutely right, which is, going to let you down sooner or later, isn't it?
You've got to just put those facts across as if they are 100% fact, which is how I get away with a lot of stuff. Because I sound very credible. And it does get me in trouble now when I try and make a joke. And people pull me up on it like that was literally a joke. The best one was one about Beyonce's surname. She's probably now Beyonce because she's married to Jay-Z, And someone's like, "Actually, his name is Carter, so she's actually Beyonce." I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh my God."
Yeah.
I give up.
I had this happen on our very own podcast recently. I think if you say something with enough confidence, people just believe it. So there's an Italian football manager called Maurizio Sarri, and he smokes 100 cigarettes a day. He's not allowed to smoke them on the touchline, so he eats them. And this is a man who's he's managing at the very, very top level. And I just said, it's funny because Maurizio Sarri is actually a direct translation of Smokey Morris, which it obviously isn't. But everyone just went, "Oh, all right." On our podcast,
Jim, we are so used to be out of our depth. We just go with whatever anybody says. I just assume everything everyone says is correct, and don't worry about it.
And this will come up as a pub quiz question at some point. Someone will say, "What is the direct translation of the name Maurizio?" Sorry, and we'll know that it's the wrong right answer is the thing that you've said.
Smokey Morris.
I always think, Jim, with footballers, I always think that we've been cheated, like Antonio Di Natale. Tawny Christmas. Like, I always think we're like names of foreign footballers. We could be treated to sort of many better kind of translations.
Yeah, Roberto Acquafresca. He was a good one. Ruben de la Red. Yeah, would Antonio Di Natale be Tony the Christmas? Would it be the Christmas?
Maybe, yeah.
Tony of Christmas.
Tony
of Christmas. Oh.
And Graham Lasso was, that means Graham Lasexy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It does now.
Graham
Frank the Beef.
Yeah. And John Terry is...
he's dad of the year and he will remain so.
He will.
Yeah.
Toilet nappy. I don't know. Anyway, blah. How did we do? Was anyone keeping score? I wasn't keeping score there.
We got two of them.
Two?
We're hard.
Well, it means that Football Ramble Daily are beating Fingers on Buzzers, which cannot be allowed to continue. Mm. So I think we're going to have to have the decider, which is going to be a listener quiz, I believe. Is that what's happening, Amanda?
Yeah, it is. We are going to do part two of Hassan Aslam's quiz that he sent in.
Bear in mind, these are a year out of date.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did the first half and we were puzzled by them. And then he wrote in and said, I did write them for a quiz last year.
No, I think I'm good with this. I think I'm all good. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask each of you individually a question because it is sports themed. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to use the rest of this quiz. And if you remember, he did it as part of a fundraiser for Age UK Ealing. So we can give that another mention as well. Shout out. So you're going to get a question each. And I'm going to start off with Pete.
Okay.
And Pete, right, here's your question. And it's got some pronunciation that I'm not 100% sure of. Kelsapries, here we go. That wasn't it. Right, Pete.
Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm preparing for Pete's pronunciation.
Okay, right, here we go. Pete, South Africa's Wade van Niekerk won Olympic gold and broke the world record at the same time in which athletics event? You want the question again? Because I barely understood that myself.
Yeah, world record and...
world record and gold.
Okay, triple jump.
It was the 400 metres, but that was a really tough one. I mean,
I was going to pass it out.
Sorry, but I just thought that it was just such a...
I would have got it. I totally have got it.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd move on, I will pass them out in future because I'm sure you'll get them. Here we go. Jim, which Mexican boxer was the highest earning boxer of 2019, making an approximate $94 million in salary and endorsements?
The only Mexican boxer I know is, I believe, Oscar De La Hoya. So would it be him?
No.
Nah, he's retired, isn't he? Damn it.
I'm going for that too.
Yeah, I don't know any. Jen will get this.
I feel like I will know it when I hear it.
Is it?
Oh, she's going to come up with some vaguely Mexican name. Come on, guys.
Hold
on to your sombrero.
Just slightly racist. Jose Chihuahua.
Is the word Felipe sombrero Oaxaca. Hat in Spanish?
Yeah, sombrero is just hat. Hold on to your...
I found that out like a few weeks ago and it has blown my mind.
Yeah, and it's sombre, so it's somber, which is like to do with shadows, and so it's the shade.
Yeah, ombre
like
will
shade
be.
Shade thing, isn't it? Anyway, but it's not. If it's not Jose Chihuahua, then I have got no idea.
Oh, no, I was really hoping that somebody would get this so I didn't have to say.
go on.
Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, all right. It's Canelo, isn't it?
Canelo
Alvarez, yeah, no.
Okay, all right.
Isn't he a mixed martial artist? Or is he a boxer?
Says it, which Mexican boxer?
I wouldn't have got
He's
it either.
A violent
way.
Man.
If you want to take that up with him and ask him, Saul.
Sure, that'll go well.
Right, so Lucy, here's your question.
We may as well not bother.
No, Lucy, I think you've got this. You've totally got this. Here we go. Stephanie
John
Frappart.
Terry.
Stephanie Frappart from France achieved a first for women this year. What was it?
Last year, probably.
Correcting the Queen Master.
Stephanie Frappart. Was she the first woman two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's just leave it there because I think we all know that I know it. She was the first woman to win the World's Strongest Man. That's got to happen soon.
Hey, good money for that.
Sure. She was the first woman to beat John Terry at arm wrestling. She was the first woman to compete in the Tour de France.
I might throw it out to other people if that's all right.
I think Lucy, the boys know it.
Do you mind?
Please do.
I really don't. Jim?
Yeah, I got nothing. I'd be guessing. Oh, and I can't even think of a guess.
Come on. I know it.
Is it football related?
It's football related.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she refereed at the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
She was assistant, what's it?
Yeah, we should have.
Yeah, she was an official.
Well, it says here, Jenny, you are right, but it says here that she's the first female referee to officiate in a major men's European football game, Liverpool v Chelsea Super Cup.
She's not at the World Cup then?
Well, it says it's Super Cup. She might have done the World Cup later.
She probably did the Women's World Cup as well.
Yeah.
When it comes to officials, I don't see gender, so.
Okay, Jenny, here's your question. In which of the home nations was this year's Open Golf Tournament played? I've got multiple choice, and it is England, Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
It's also trying to puzzle out what year is it now? What year is it written?
I don't know what day it is.
Hey, listen, we're going to have people listen to this in 2022 and they're going to be wondering why we aren't all sat in the same room together. So none of it really matters at the end of the day, does it?
Well, do you know, that's such a good motto.
They're going to be an incident where everyone loses the memory.
If I've got anything to do with it.
Nothing happened in 2020. It's just a blank for everybody.
Actually, you know what? If we could all officially stay the same age, I'd be all right with that.
Yes. I'm claiming it. Yeah, if your birthday is in lockdown, I'm claiming it. I'm staying my the age I was last year, which I'm not mentioning because people are going to be listening in 2022. And I'll still be that same age.
Right. Shall I ask you all a question and you can all just buzz in with your name? Should we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be about Eurovision, just because we've had a lockdown Eurovision at time of record. It was on at the weekend. So I just thought I'd mark that occasion. So in which year did Graham Norton take over from Terry Wogan as host of the Eurovision?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, should we write down our answers? And it can be a numerical. There we go. It's nearest the post. That's the way to do this one.
I'm going to use my phone notes, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Do we have to show on the webcam for proofs?
Yes, please.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, it feels like Sir Terry. It was only yesterday that he was here.
It was.
It was like 2 years after we did that show where his package was visible. It was like 2 years after that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Remember that?
Brilliant.
Points of view.
Trouser.
Yeah.
That's points of view.
There were some points at view, weren't there?
Okay.
What a legacy.
Are we ready?
A load of different answers. Hang on. Okay. I'm going with this one.
Okay.
Okay, after three, one, two, three, hold up your answers. And I can't say. Lucy's got 2014. Jenny's got 2005. Jim's, I can't see. 2015 for Pete. Jim, do you want to enlarge that for me? Oh, no. I've got it. 2011.
Yes.
No disrespect. 2011. you were closest, Jim. It was 2009.
Yes. Oh, 2009. Wow. That was one of the many numbers I wrote down earlier.
I just felt like it was going to be one of those things where it doesn't seem like it's too long, but actually it's ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were right. You were right to think
I was.
That. So,
congratulations, you've won. You've won the quiz now.
Have they, though?
Have I?
No. Overall, us versus them.
I think you have, because Jenny got one right. And you got one right, and you were in the lead. I think.
Yeah.
I think that
in the overall, they got three. You guys got two. So by my calculations, they've got four in the overall quiz. Yeah.
Wow.
Well done.
Four, three, two, 18. Terrible.
Well done. Well, you come on our podcast and you beat us. I mean,
got an away goal as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the double.
A four away goal.
Well, you've won the quiz and we are delighted for you because you came in saying you weren't competitive, but look at you guys, look at you, you've just won.
Yeah, oddly proud.
Yeah,
that's how it feels. Like that's how quizzes feel, that rush. Now use
like
that.
Like a fluffy hockey team in a film.
Yeah. You are. You came in with just hopes and dreams, but no real confidence. And now look how you've grown. It's been beautiful to see. It really has. And one thing I wanted to ask you before we let you go to enjoy your victory, there's a after party with the Zoom luxury. There's a after party where you get to go and get a rub down. So that'll be fun. Yeah. Before you go, could you each share with us a football fact or something that might be useful for our listeners to take with them into the world of quizzing? So something that might come up on a pub quiz or just something interesting. Pete, have you got anything?
Well, Jim might have to help me with this one. I think Steven Gerrard has scored more goals in the Premier League against Liverpool than any other player.
No, I think actually...
It's not. It's Jamie Carragher.
It's Jamie Carragher has scored the most goals against Liverpool at Anfield, I believe, with 7 own goals. Oh, all of his own goals have been there.
Right. Okay.
I think that's right.
That's why I'm bad at trivia, Jim. I've not got a bloody clue.
Mine would be, and I don't know how likely this would be to come up, but it's just a weird little thing that I think about sometimes, which is that Ashley Cole of Back Page and Front Page fame is actually a distant relative of Mariah Carey.
Nice.
Which they both discovered within like the last 5 or 6 years. It's very strange.
That's lovely, that.
Wow. Yeah.
How did you even discover that?
I know. Did you do ancestry.com, whatever it is? Hang on, I'm related to Mariah Carey. Is this broken?
I've done that and I found out I'm related to potato farmers and brawlers, notorious brawlers of Tipperary.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. That's it. That's all my ancestry as far back as I can go.
Yeah. My
I did one of those DNA tests that you pay like 60 quid for, and you spit in a tube and then you send it off and you get the results back. And they said, Pete, you are 60% Irish. And I was like, I had no idea I had any Irish in my family. Told me mum about it. She went, both your great-grandmas are both Irish. That could have saved me some money, couldn't it?
60 quid, yeah, that.
Yes, could have. Honestly. So the clan I am from, the Campbell clan, were notoriously responsible for the thing that the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones is based on. So I don't really need to spend that money because I know it's bad. And I know that we're the bad guys.
I think the test of any bad person is that have you used an axe for anything other than chopping wood?
Yeah, have you ever stood in the moonlight over a dead body thinking, yeah, this is probably not what I should be doing right now?
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you so much for joining us and for enlightening us about football and all kinds of other things. Now, Pete, our regular listeners may know your voice and may not even know that they know your voice because you are the guy who faithfully every week does our outro for us.
Must be exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you really get me to do it uniquely every single time. I mean, you could just record this and you get in the way of a lot of my relationships.
Yeah, we demand that every time we record an episode, you're there. So would you play us out in light entertainment?
My usual underwhelming style. Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music from Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz@fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet @fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, it was like he was in the room, wasn't it? It was amazing. Well done.
Like he was in the Zoom.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.